hear God's Word read this morning in Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to read the entire chapter and we're going to consider the entire chapter this morning. So let us hear the 11 verses of Isaiah chapter 50. Hear now God's Word. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, in my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stink, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. May we know the blessing of the public reading of God's Word. You may be seated. Although I have never done this, I believe it would be interesting as well as very profitable to your never-dying soul to make a record of the number of verses that clearly show that the Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope for salvation and acceptance with the true living and only Lord God revealed and declared in His Holy Bible. For I am sure that the number of verses that clearly show this would be very extensive. Not just the single, crystal clear verses like John 14:6, Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not just Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not only 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, but also whole chapters. Chapters like Isaiah 53, which we have yet to reach. But the truth that any man's hope of acceptance with God is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone is clearly taught in Isaiah 50, as well. The chapter in Isaiah that I want to direct your attention to in the next few moments. For in this chapter you clearly see declared that the Lord holds men accountable for their sins. Meaning that your only hope, the only acceptable substitute is Jesus Christ.
In this chapter, you see that despite the Lord's awesome power demonstrated in both the earth below and the heavens above, His sinless Son had to come into this world to endure the shameful treatment He received from sinner men in order to save His people from their sins. And in this chapter, you see the Lord clearly warning men of the utter folly of thinking that their ways of dealing with their sinfulness and the consequences of their sin are acceptable to Him, which they are not. But to begin with, how does this chapter display to your mind and understanding the truth that Christ Jesus is sinner man's only hope and your only hope? It does this first by clearly stating that the Lord God holds men accountable for the iniquities and transgressions against Him. For one of the major reasons that fallen man, dead in trespasses and sins, refuses to face the truth that Christ Jesus is his only hope, is because he refuses to face the fact that God holds him accountable for his sinfulness. There is a coming day of judgment that can only be faced safely through Christ Jesus, because God holds all men accountable for their sins unless justly atoned for through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to suffer and die because men are so lovable. He came into this world to save His people from their sins by being their penal substitute. Sins that apart from His finished and perfect work of substitution, His people would be held accountable for by God. For notice what the Lord says in verse 1 of Isaiah 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Now in this verse, the Lord is addressing why His people were in captivity in Babylon. Why were they in captivity in Babylon? They were in captivity in Babylon because of their iniquities, because of their transgressions. Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. For if man had never rebelled and disobeyed the Lord, he would never have known suffering and affliction. And yet, sadly and incorrectly, men like to hold God accountable for all the suffering and affliction that men have brought upon themselves because of their rebellion and rejection of the Lord. But sinner man, thinking he can hold God accountable, is displaying the ultimate foolishness and folly. Because, my dear people, on judgment day, God will not be standing before sinner man. Sinner man will be standing before the judge of all men. Every sinner man will be standing before Almighty God, and unless you are clothed in His gracious gift of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, you will see the utter folly of thinking you can call God to account for your sinfulness. And notice how the Lord illustrates the folly of this reasoning. He does it by using two practices that those to whom Isaiah was writing would have understood, both displaying the utter folly of attempting to hold the Lord accountable for your sinfulness. The first one is declared at the beginning of verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Now, what the Lord is referring to here was the common practice of the hard-hearted husbands in Isaiah's day putting away their wives for inadequate and unbiblical reasons. And Jesus testifies to this when he is challenged over the issue in Matthew 19, verses 1 to 9. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. What the Lord is saying is, you are not in captivity in Babylon because of my putting you away, because of my hardness of heart. You are in captivity because of your iniquities, because of your transgressions. And the truth of this is reinforced by the second thing that the Lord says in verse 1. Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Now the practice being referred to here was the hard-hearted practice of a father selling his son into economic slavery because of his poor handling of his financial affairs. You are not in Babylon because I sold you there because of something I did that was wrong. You are in Babylon because of what you did that was wrong. Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. My dear people, if ever there was a sign of how warped man's reasoning has become because of his sinfulness, it is seen when men use the presence of suffering and affliction in the world, or even the suffering and affliction that in their own lives, to reject and deny the existence of God. Rather than correctly seeing what the presence of afflictions and trials in this world is a testimony to, namely that men have rebelled against the Lord and are reaping individually and collectively what they deserve. My dear people, it's not the absence of trials and afflictions that should amaze you. It's the lack of them. That God would be so long-suffering towards men who continue to rebel against Him and reject Him. That is the thing that should amaze you. It should amaze you that there should be anything called pleasure in this world that is in rebellion against its Creator. That's the thing that should amaze you. Not the fact that there is suffering and trial and difficulty. Man has brought these things down upon his own head. Agree with God. Don't argue with Him. This world is in the condition that it is in because of mankind's rebellion against and rejection of God. And mankind is in a hopeless condition unless the Lord intervenes in grace and mercy through Christ. For notice what the first part of verse 2 of Isaiah says. Wherefore, or therefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? If men were not displaying how ignorant they are of their true condition, they would not think that they could call God to account. They would agree with God that no man can answer back to God. For if men faced their true guilt and their true transgression before God, they would not be accusing God. In the words of Paul, as he brings His universal condemnation of all men to its conclusion. What does He say in Romans 3:19? Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. For as long as men continue to think that they can question God, they show that they're not facing themselves correctly. You face yourself correctly, and you will agree with Isaiah. Man cannot answer back to God. He can cry out to God for mercy, but he can't answer back to God. You will agree with Paul that every mouth should be stopped. You will agree with Habakkuk in Habakkuk 2:20, but the Lord is in His holy temple, and all the earth keeps silence before Him. But is mankind's true condition in sin and transgression a hopeless one? From His perspective, it is. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But not from the Lord. And from His perspective, as He declared at the end of verse 2 and verse 3, notice, wherefore when I came, there was no man. When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stink, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord is displaying His power here in specific reference. He's referring to His ability to deliver His people from their bondage and captivity in Egypt. Pharaoh said, I will not let God's people go. The Lord displayed His power in the 10 plagues that He brought upon Egypt, and He delivered His people out of captivity in Egypt. But I say this reverently, my dear people. The Lord's delivering His people from their captivity in Egypt shows His ability to deliver His people from bondage and affliction. But delivering His people from bondage and affliction in Egypt was an easy thing in comparison to what was required for Him to justly and righteously deliver you, believer, from your bondage and affliction due to your sin and transgression against Him. For in order for the Lord to save His people from their sins, what was required? The Lord in the person of the Son had to become man. He had to come into this world and suffer and die at the hands of sinful men and then be made the penal substitute for His people on the cross. For if you have honestly faced your true natural condition in sin, who alone can set you free? If you've honestly faced your condition before God, that the whole world may be guilty and every mouth stopped, who's your only hope? The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of Isaiah 50. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Who is the only one who can correctly and adequately deal with any man's sin problem? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, my dear people, read through the Gospels. He did not downplay the truth about man's sinful condition. He accurately declared it. He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Because there are no righteous people outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Only self-righteous, deluded sinners. For when you face your true condition in sin, when you face your true sinfulness before the Lord, what are the words of Jesus Christ to you? They are words in season to him who is weary. For where else can we go but to Jesus Christ, because He is eternal life and has the words of eternal life. And as long as men refuse to face their true condition, the words and work of Jesus Christ will not be
glorious and precious to them. For no one else but Jesus Christ fulfills verses 5 and 6. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face, from shame and spitting. Who is this? Who is Isaiah prophesying here? He's prophesying of the Lord Jesus. He's prophesying of what was going to happen to the Lord Jesus when He came into this world to save His people from their sins. And my dear people, you want to know what sinner man really thinks about God? You want to know what sinner man really thinks about God? Not about the idols and false gods that he foolishly worships and serves, but what he really thinks about the true and only Lord God, apart from God's amazing mercy and grace. You want to know what sinner man thinks of God? Look! And what man did to Jesus Christ. Don't buy into the lie that men are seekers after God. God came into this world in the person of His Son. And what did men do to Him? They spat in His face. They whipped His back. They pulled out His beard. That's what sinner man thinks of God. Apart from God's grace and mercy. Because who is Jesus Christ, my dear people? He is God incarnate. Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And how did sinner man treat Almighty God when He came into this world to save this world? He was maligned. He was mistreated. And who was it, my dear people, that most vehemently displayed this hatred towards the Lord? It was in two groups of men joined together. Religious men and political men. The Pharisees and Sadducees of Israel combined with the political power of Rome. Unsaved and lost religious men do not want the true and only God. Because if religious men wanted God, they would have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, not treated Him the way they did. Unsaved and lost political men do not want the true and only God. Because if political men wanted God, they would have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ and not treated Him the way they did. And when religious and political men join together in their hatred of God, what do you see them doing? Crucifying the Son of God. My dear people, if you want to see what religious Roman Catholicism thinks of the greatest finished work of God, look at their blasphemous crucifix. They want Him to continue to suffer. But why do unsaved and lost religious and political men display such hatred toward Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world? Because Jesus Christ declares that they cannot do what He alone can do. What can Christ Jesus alone do? He is the only one who can save sinner man. But what do religious and political men think they can do?
Unsaved and lost religious men think they can save themselves. Unsaved and lost political men think they can save mankind. Unsaved and lost religious man seeks to establish his own way of righteousness and refuses to submit to the righteousness of God in Christ. Unsaved and lost political man talks about the new world order that he can bring in without Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into this world and says, I'm the only one who can save man. I'm the only one who can bring in the everlasting kingdom. What do religious men think who think they can save themselves? What do political men think who think they can save the world? Crucify him! Crucify him! O believers, stand amazed in the presence of the one who went through so much at the hand of sinner man to purchase your salvation. But how was he able to endure it? Verses 7 to 9. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. The Father strengthened the Son. The sinless Son of Man knew that He had come into this world to save His people from their sins, and He was strengthened by His Father in this greatest of undertakings and works. Think of how the Father speaking to the Son more than once. This is my beloved Son. With Him I am well pleased. How that must have strengthened Him. Think of how the Father's angels must have encouraged and strengthened him after his conflict with the devil in the desert. See, Jesus Christ steadfastly set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem because he knew that despite the shameful treatment he would receive from religious and political men, he would not be ashamed or confounded. Because what happened 3 days and three nights after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified at the hands of sinful men? He rose triumphant over the grave. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See, Jesus Christ may have been condemned and rejected by religious and political men, but He was accepted and He was glorified by His Father. And what happened to all that foolishly and sinfully condemned Christ? The end of verse 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. They all died. Herod died. Pilate died. Caiaphas died. All the religious and political leaders could not prevent themselves from dying. From dying and having to meet the very one they crucified. Revelation 1:7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Those who crucify the Lord in glory will have to stand before Him. What folly! Religious and political men cannot win regardless of how powerful they appear to be for a brief moment of time. That is why you, believer, need to keep on trusting in the Lord regardless of what religious and political men try to do and have done. For notice that the Lord speaks to you, believer, in verse 10 of Isaiah 50. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and say upon His God. Have you come to see that God could justly and righteously condemn you for all your sins? O Lord, if you were to mark my iniquities, I could not stand. But you have come by the grace and mercy of God to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, who says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, you, believer, have faced your true condition outside of Christ, and you've seen that He is your only hope. So what do you do in the midst of this dark world, where men continue to mock and ridicule the gospel in their need of Christ? What do you do, believer, when you are surrounded by political and religious men who talk about what they can do or think they can do and continue to reject that their only hope is Christ? You keep on trusting in the Lord. You keep on trusting in the Lord and resting in Him alone. Even if political and religious men join together again as they did in Jesus' day and have done more than once in church history to oppose and persecute those who hold the truth that salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ, because all the opposition and persecution you may have already faced, believer, and may yet have to face because you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, cannot and never will change the truth of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ into a lie. There is only one way of salvation. It is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, not the anti-gospel and false ways of salvation of religious and political men. Believer, lay hold of what you are to do as the Lord speaks to you from His Word. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Salvation is of the Lord. I will rest in Him and in Him alone. I will stay upon Him regardless of when, what men say about me, what they do to me. I have come and know that outside of Christ there is no salvation. That outside of Christ man is lost. So what does it matter what they do to this body that I'm in temporarily? I've rested my life solely and utterly in the hands of the only one who can save sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Stay upon your saving God. But notice, my dear people, that this chapter does not finish by speaking to believers. It ends with the Lord speaking to non-believers. It ends with this sobering warning to all unsaved men, whether religious or political, as to the utter folly of seeking your own way of dealing with the problems that man brought down upon his own head when he rebelled and sinned against God. Verse 11, Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Be honest, dear people. Man's religions. What are man's religions? They see that man has problems. They see that man has difficulties. And man in his religions tries to solve those problems. What do political men try to do? They see problems in society. They see problems with men. And they seek political solutions to the reality that men have trials and difficulties in this world. But every idea and every teaching of man that seeks to address the problems that mankind has had to face since Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, that rejects that the gospel of Jesus Christ is mankind's only hope, is condemned by God. What are all the world religions but men seeking to walk in the light of their own fires and the sparks that they have kindled, even as they reject Christ Jesus as their only hope? What are all the political systems of men, but political men walking in their own sparks, thinking they can bring in a new world order without Jesus Christ? But what does the Lord say to all these ideas of fallen and rebellious men who think that they can solve the problems that men have brought upon themselves because of their rejection and rebellion against God? What does He think of them? Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This ye shall have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. My dear people, God is telling us very clearly here. All mankind, all of mankind's religious solutions to the problems caused by his sin and rebellion against God will only result in sorrow and damnation from God, because God's provided the answer in Christ. And in Christ alone. And world religions are saying, no! We've got a way back to God. And God says, you follow your way and you will lie down in sorrow. Because I've provided the only way in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all mankind's political solutions to the problems caused by his sin and rebellion against God will only result in sorrow and damnation for God from God. Mankind's only hope, dear people, is found in the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where man's hope is. That's the only place mankind's hope is. Not in religion, not in politics, but in the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to save the world. And He will save the world. Not religion, not politics, but the finished work of Christ on His cross is mankind's only hope. Everything else is under the anathema of God. If you want to know what the Word of God is to mankind today, I'll tell you what it is. You know what the Word of God is to mankind today? This is my beloved Son. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Not to the religions of men. Not to the political systems of men. But listen to my Son, the Savior of the world. For if you are not listening to Him, if you are not confessing Him as your only hope for time, judgment day, and eternity, the wrath of God abides on you. For outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. May you know that salvation that is found in Him alone, both today and forever. Let's pray.